I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok, 7 o'clock hour of sports talk. Welcome on in. Steve Geller along with Cullen Steele bringing it till 8 p.m. We got Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, joining us after the first break. Checking in real quick right now, SEC tournament scoreboard. The Florida Gators have a 7-3 lead over South Carolina. Gamecocks trying to chip away at Florida's lead there, but it is the bottom of the eighth inning. Meanwhile, our finals for today at the SEC tournament, Alabama taking down Missouri 4-1, and then it was Oklahoma beating Kentucky 5-1. The late game, the final game of the evening, is the one we care about. Potential matchup for LSU on Friday, either Mississippi State or Texas A&M. Will advance today to take on Auburn tomorrow night. That also will be the late game. Saints organized team activities getting underway today. Seeing the team put a post out on Twitter. These are voluntary workouts, but we can do a little sleuthing here, Cullen, to see who's in these pictures to know the guys that have shown up. And as you mentioned, I do love the fact that they have the names written across the helmets right now. Makes it
so easy to identify.
Easy.
It's so nice to see that.
So, yeah, taking part, no surprise, the man that just can't get enough football, no matter how many years he's been playing, Cam Jordan, a staple for this team, a leader on and off of it. He's in attendance there taking a picture that where Brian Brazee, who is in action. We got a photo of Taliese Fuaga pointing at the camera. Also in action, Carl Granderson, number 96, in the mix. And then some back shots. We see Chris Olave and Brandon Cook standing there, part of the wide receiver group. So those are the guys we do know that are, in fact, in the building for these voluntary workouts. I know a guy that definitely won't be there, though. Alvin Kamara mentioned on Twitter the other day that he's taken off for Jordan, so he's in Africa right now.
That's the place to be. It's either there or here.
I kind of joked with Jeff. We'll be talking to him, like I mentioned, Jeff Nowak on their Inside and Black and Gold podcast, that maybe Kamara's just getting some extensive heat training while he's visiting Africa right now.
Yeah, he's surveying the Olympic competition, maybe.
There you go, right.
Getting ready for the big game, getting ready for a gold medal.
Mentioning the wide receiver group with this Saints squad, someone that's got a chance to make quite an impact, I think, this season, Cedric Wilson Jr. Now, you might think, what are you talking about here, Steve? But a guy that's been around the block, been there, done that in the league, has some past experience with Kellen Moore when both were with the Dallas Cowboys. We heard Moore mention the other day, you know, he's a bigger wide receiver that's great at making those contested catches. And Cedric Wilson Jr. stands 6'2", 197 pounds. Last year, just put up 20 receptions, 211 yards, and one TD. But definitely someone that has this past relationship with the new head coach in Kellen Moore. Cedric Wilson Jr. was part of the Hall of Fame golf tournament yesterday. And about 2.5 minutes of audio here, he spoke with the media. And here's what Cedric Wilson had to say as he got ready for the start of organized team activities.
I'm in. How has how things been kind of this off season and heading into OTAs?
It's been pretty enjoyable this off season, you know, getting back with the old staff that I used to play with earlier in my career, and just seeing them mesh well with the guys that, I mean, I played with last year. Seeing everybody work for one goal is pretty cool, but we're just getting our feet wet, excited to see what comes in the future.
What stands out about Kellen Moore? You know him pretty well, so what stands out about him as a coach?
When I first met him, he was a pretty smart guy, and now seeing that he's gotten even more smarter over the years, and then just seeing how his career has grown, simply the same as mine, and seeing where we both are today, and actually happy to get to work together again.
How happy are you to obviously be, you know, reunited in that capacity?
Oh, definitely. I'm definitely excited to work with him again. I mean, I feel like that was the last few chances that I got a chance to actually show my talent. So hopefully, you know, I get that opportunity coming up.
What makes you think that? Why do you think you clicked so well with him? You talked about that last time being the time for you to showcase your talent. Why do you think you clicked so well with him?
I think he's a player's coach. One, just he likes guys that like ball, and if you're gonna hone in on your craft, then he'll put you in the best position. But you have to know how he's thinking, and at the same time, you got to know the game of football and work hard and be consistent.
What are you looking forward to about OTAs getting started this week?
To see where we're at. I feel like that's where everybody's interested at, just to see what the team holds with a lot of changes all over the building. Just trying to see where we're going to land at.
It sounds like you think the reason that you did well under Kellen had less to do with schematics and more to do with just the way you guys related. Is that right?
No, I mean, the plays are very simple, I feel like, for most of the guys to pick up. And then once you pick it up, I mean, he's calling some pretty good plays. And even when you watch it on film, most of the things are open. You just got to call it at the right time.
What'd you think of the quarterbacks they brought in? What do you think of Tyler Shuck?
Tyler's good. He seems like a cool guy. I haven't really got to throw with him that much. It's only been, I think, a week or so. But all the young guys, they're hungry, and that's what you want to see. You don't want to see guys shying away from the competition. And you see that all three of them want it. Now four, we got a young lefty in the room now. So, but just all the guys, you know, being ready to compete, and that's what you want to see.
Saints veteran wide receiver Cedric Wilson Jr. there, 30 years old, has been around the block, like I said, and been with Kellen Moore in Dallas. His best year, 2021, played 16 games, ended up with 45 receptions, 602 yards, and 6 TDs. Parlayed that into a contract as a free agent going to the Miami Dolphins, where he spent 2 seasons. And then last year was with the New Orleans Saints. And think that's a guy that Kellen Moore is definitely going to lean on a lot, because he's been there, done that in his scheme, knows how he thinks. You heard Cedric Wilson, too, talk about the mind of Kellen Moore. We've heard so much about the offensive genius, and definitely looking forward to seeing how that unfolds here now with the black and gold. Super Bowl champ with the Philadelphia Eagles, helped Jalen Hurts and the squad over there really decimate the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The defense, obviously, the Eagles had a great deal to do with that as well. But man, oh man, the offensive line, a huge key for Philadelphia as well. But like I mentioned, with Cedric Wilson Jr., definitely think he's part of the receiving core that's kind of getting overlooked right now, that will, I feel like, play a larger role because of his involvement in the past in Kellen Moore's scheme, and the know-how can help relay that information to some of these other guys on the roster as well.
That, and, you know, with the way we're going to be looking at how this quarterback competition unfolds, they're going to be a part of it. They have to be. They're going to be catching passes from the guys that are going to be fighting for the top spot, that are going to be the main focus of camp. And one thing that Jeff has mentioned constantly in his article, you can find it on WWL.com, of his early roster look, is that it almost feels at times like high school, like it's clicky, like it's, this person might be on the edge because they're not Kellen's guy. They're part of the old regime kind of deal. And I'm worried that might be a big part of it, but there's a reason these guys trust each other. There's a reason why Cedric Wilson has been a part of Moore's offense in the past, and why he might be a part of it in the future. And so you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt, but know that it will be a factor.
Yeah, like Cullen just said, you can check out Jeff's Way Too Early Saints 53-man roster projections over at WWL.com. Also, we broke it down on the Inside Black and Gold podcast which you can find that as well wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search for Inside Black and Gold. We shall step away right now. When we get back, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will join us as we talk about his roster projections, plus getting ready for organized team activities, at least the media viewing part, which we will get to see on Thursday. The Saints in action today, cranking them up the first round as phase three of the offseason workouts kick off. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. Stick around. We'll be right back after this on WWF.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Cullen Steele, happy to welcome in now Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak, to the radio huddle. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. It's Tuesday, you know, I'm not outside, so that's a win.
Yeah, we'll be getting outside soon enough, though, so we'll see if that Thursday practice for organized team activities that the media gets to see is in the indoor facility or if we're going to be sweating that afternoon. Either way,
yeah, I think it is a good opportunity to learn just how committed Kellen Moore is to embracing the elements, because it's easy to say it, you know, especially, you know, coming from Philadelphia, and then you get down here and the humidity really hits like it did this week, and, you know, that changes some things.
We've been, Cullen and I have been talking about your way too early Saints 53-man roster projections that folks can check out at WWL.com. I know we also did a bunch of that on the Inside Black and Gold podcast today, which folks can check out as well. Just shaking things out, looking at the offense first, the quarterback position I think is fairly easy as of right now. I know you entered this with the caveat of how you look at this roster projection as of right now. We're not predicting what can happen in the future. That was looking like a guy with Deckers who could end up maybe supplanting someone like Jake Haener down the road. But as of right now, it's Tyler Shough, Spencer Rattler, and Jake Haener as your three quarterbacks on this roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think it got things got more complicated when Derek Carr retired, but in this sense, it got a lot less complicated in that you're no longer asking, okay, are you going to supplant a veteran for a rookie for a young player? You're going to be starting a young player. It's just a question of who. I think when it comes down to it, it's going to be Tyler Shough versus Spencer Rattler. Maybe Jake Haener has a say in this, but until I see it, I won't believe it. That said, I do think you're going to keep three quarterbacks on the roster. And, you know, we'll see how things shake out with Hunter Deckers. At this point, he feels like the developmental prospect. And I feel like you have a pretty solid core group of three young guys who you can at least kind of let build and develop together. So, I mean, that just makes sense to me.
Going down the list, Jeff, next up, you have the running back fullback position. You only have three this year, naming Kamara, Kendre Miller, and Devin Neal. I have to ask, because anybody who's looking at this list is going to say the same thing. Why is Kendre Miller in that number?
Yeah, well, so it's only three in part because the Saints don't have a fullback on the roster right now. So, you know, that's a position that they appear that they're going to forego for the first time in a while. So that does chop this number down a little bit. As far as Kendre, you know, at this point, I'm kind of going based on talent right now. I haven't seen Marcus Yarns out there. Haven't seen Devin Neal out there. Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still here. Xavier Valade is still here. Jordan Mims was waived. But at this point right now, you look at that list, and other than Alvin Kamara, there's no question who the second most talented player is on that list, and it's Kendre Miller. His issue has been health and staying on the field. So, you know, I'm going to believe he's the guy until he shows me he's not. And that's going to be something that we're honestly not even going to learn during OTAs. We're going to learn during training camp whether he can stay on the field. Because if he can't, if he shows that he can't do that, then, yeah, you do start to look further down that list. And maybe a Marcus Yarns comes into play. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire becomes that guy. At this point, you're still talking about a third-round pick from 2 years ago that you're really hoping can make an impact. And so you're going to give him opportunities to do that. Alvin Kamara is 29 years old, going to be 30. Like, you do need to start developing guys behind him. And while things have gone very poorly for Kendre Miller to this point, there's still going to be people hoping that he can succeed. So, you know, I this is more of an optimistic take from me than anything we have seen in reality. Hopefully a new system, a new coaching staff, a new regime can lead to positive things. Because there's no question, when he's been on the field, he has been a good football player. The talent is there.
You know, you mentioned right there the fullback position, which is, you know, a little odd not seeing one on this roster. Do you think that's something maybe down the line the Saints end up adding, maybe not during organized team activities, but sometime during training camp?
It's possible. I mean, the Eagles did roster a fullback for part of the season last year. Wouldn't be surprised if it's a guy, if you just stash somebody on the practice squad once the season starts.
Right.
That said, I think the way Kellen Moore wants to operate his offense is more of with an H-back from the tight end position. A guy like Jack Stoll would make a lot of sense. I have five tight ends on this roster projection, in part because I kind of view Jack Stoll as an H-back more so than just the receiving tight end. But it's really, I mean, you're doing the same thing. Someone's got to be a blocker, right? So as long as you have a blocker, it really doesn't matter whether you call him a fullback or an H-back. It's a question of whether the guy you throw out there is a good blocker. And frankly, I just don't know what they've gotten out of the fullback position over the last few years. Anyway, you've kept him on the roster, but it's kind of been like a void of production. Whereas I'd almost rather have a guy whose skill set involves pass catching a little bit more than what you've had, because there were situations last year where all you needed was Adam Prentice to make an easy catch. He couldn't do it, you know? And so I don't know. I don't think they're going to be committed to the fullback position the way they have been in the past.
You brought up a little there the tight end position, Jeff, and looking at here, five tight ends you got on the roster: Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau, Taysom Hill, Jack Stoll, and the rookie Maliki Mataveo. Cut Dallin Holker, Michael Jacobson, and Trayton Welch. If you're not familiar with Welch, was someone that was on the practice squad a year ago with this team. I think pretty straightforward there, other than the fact that we don't really know what the future lies for a Taysom Hill right now.
Yeah, Taysom Hill is really just a big question mark at this point, both in terms of health and in terms of how the Saints plan to use him if and when he gets back healthy. I'm a little kind of on the fence about whether when he is back, if he will have a big role in this offense, because I just don't know how much you're going to invest in him in terms of, you know, it's not a position that you can just replace, right? So you're not going to just incorporate a lot of this playbook into the offense when he's not there to run it. And he's on the final year of his contract. He's going to be 35 years old. You're probably not going to extend him. So how much is it worth for that one season? We'll have to find out. But at this point, he's still on the roster. It's just a question of when he's going to be back, when he's going to be available, and what their plan is for him.
Another one, too, Foster Moreau. How much do we know about how he's recovering from his injury? I know when you leave the field in an air cast, it's never a good thing, and I believe he did have surgery.
He has been, you know, he's been around the facility. He's been working. He's going to be someone we have to watch, too. You know, I don't know just how significant his injury was and what his timeline is going to be. Taysom Hill's was far more severe. Granted, it happened a few weeks earlier in the season, so we had a bit of a head start. But I expect Foster to be ahead of Taysom Hill's timeline somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about two players with injuries that you're going to have to navigate.
I mean, moving on to the next group of pass catchers who are going to be pretty important to figuring out who we're going with at QB. You've got six wide receivers this year. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks, Cedric Wilson, Bud Means, and Dante Pettis are cutting Mucci Dixon, Mason Tipton, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Chris Tyree, and Kevin Austin Jr. Tell me, Jeff, why are you rocking with those six?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty simple at the top, right? I mean, there's no question Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Brandon Cooks are the guys. You know, regardless of who you keep at the wide receiver position, the success or failure at this position is going to be with the success or failure of those three names. Beyond that, you know, I think Cedric Wilson is a guy that going into this offseason I was not expecting to come back. And then with the hire of Kellen Moore, it became a no-brainer that he would be coming back. And then to the point that I think he's probably pretty safe on this roster as long as he goes out and performs, because he's a player that spent multiple seasons with Kellen Moore in Dallas, actually had his best season with Kellen in Dallas. Probably doesn't hurt that he's also a former Boise State Bronco. So that just makes sense to me. Dante Pettis, I think, you know, you look at Rashid Shaheed and you see a player that is very productive on offense, also has a really strong special team skill set, but just how much of a workload are you going to put on him from a special teams perspective? I think you want to try to take one of the two return units off of his hands. And Dante Pettis would allow you to do that. I think you want to keep Rashid as a returner. I think that's where he's the most, I mean, as a punt returner, that's where he's the most dynamic. So, you know, anytime you're talking about the sixth wide receiver on a depth chart, got to be a special teams contributor in some way, shape, or form, because he's just not going to get on the field that often when everyone's healthy. And then, you know, there's some question. I have Bud Means up there right now, just he's going into year two and he was a draft pick last year. But that could go any way. I think you need that spot, that receiver spot, to be kind of a big-bodied guy who can get out there and block, who can contribute on special teams. So whether you want to say that's Bud Means, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Kevin Austin Jr., they all kind of do the same thing in that regard. Mason Tipton's a weird one, because I feel like Mason Tipton, last year, he was the camp darling. He got the amount of opportunities throughout the course last year that UDFAs come into the league dreaming about. He got so many chances to make an impact, and he just didn't. And so I just don't think that tape's going to do him much good this year. He's going to have to go out there and do it again, all while knowing he did get those chances and didn't deliver on them. So he's on the cut line for me right now, and it's the other guys on top.
What we're talking about here on WWL is Jeff's Way Too Early Saints 53-man roster projections. You can check it out or follow us along right now at WWL.com. If you'd like, and looking at the offensive line, Jeff, I'm surprised here to see, you know, you're right, the trenches where I have the least amount of confidence in being right on these projections, at least outside of the starters. Just curious why you say that. We have Fuaga, Banks Jr., McCoy, Ruiz, Trevor Penning as the starters, along with Landon Young, Raidens, Will Clapp, and Nick Saldiveri as the reserves. I think that's really spot on. You nailed it there.
Yeah, I'm talking both sides of the ball when I say that. And I just think there's just a lot of big bodies in there that you're going to have to sort out. You know, it is a pretty simple top nine on the offensive line. I went with experience over upside. We'll see if this new offensive staff agrees with that.
Yeah.
The reason I went with young Radins, Klapsch-Aldvary is because you're talking about guys with, you know, 70 games of starting experience in the NFL, right? So, you know, that's what I want to have behind a young offensive line group. You know, the bigger question on the offensive line is, where do you put those five starters? Do you have Kelvin Banks stay a tackle? Do you move Trevor Penning into guard? Do you maybe, you know, have Trevor Penning compete at guard with Dylan Radins and see, you know, because there's no guarantee. Like, everyone wants to say, move Trevor Penning to guard. What if he's not as good of a guard as your backup? You know, like, that's the thing a lot of people don't think about. What if Trevor Penning is a better right tackle option right now than Kelvin Banks would be, knowing he's never played right tackle in his career? So, I mean, that's probably the bigger question. However you want to sort it out behind them, you can make an argument for that. At this point, I just, you know, this is just a position where I want the, you know, as skins on the wall, as Bobby would put it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying now, because, you know, you mentioned the trenches where you have the least amount of confidence. Looking at the defensive line, we're going to the defensive side of the ball now, and man, oh man, it just a litany of names here, and it's really hard to figure out when you look at everyone, maybe not the starters as much, but for depth purposes, this team is really stocked with a bunch of guys that things need to be sorted out, and we'll see how, you know, things go under new defensive coordinator Brandon Staley.
Yeah, it's weird because you're now talking about center or nose tackle, I should say, defensive end, which is a 3-4 defensive end, which is basically a defensive tackle, then outside linebacker. It's all kind of lumped into one position. And, you know, each side of outside linebacker, you have a strong side outside linebacker, a weak side outside linebacker. You know, it's all very different and complicated. But, you know, there's 17 names on the defensive line right now. That's a ton of names. I have them keeping 10. And even then, I don't know. You know, I have them cutting Nathan Shepard. I have them cutting John Ridgeway, Christian Boyd, Chris Rumpf, who they just signed, who knows Brandon Staley, just to keep the draft picks. You know, just to keep Carl Granderson, Cam Jordan, Chase Young. I have him keeping Brian Brzee, obviously, Vernon Broughton, Devon Godshaw, Colin Saunders, Isaiah Foskey, Jonah Williams. So, like, you could swap a lot of these names out, and it would still make sense to me. I just think the biggest question I have is Foskey. How committed is this team going to be to Isaiah Foskey? Yes, he was a second-round pick, but it was a completely different defense. You know, he's obviously a special teams contributor. How's that going to work? But yeah, the defensive line, of all the positions on this list where, you know, there's some debate over how things are going to play out with the players you keep, this is the position where I feel like, you know, you could throw four different names in here and be right at the end. It's just going to be a question of how they perform.
Jeff, jumping down to safety, we're going to skip cornerback and linebacker for the time being. You guys can find those at WWL.com. And as always, you guys broke it down earlier today on Inside Black and Gold. You have Tyrann Mathieu, Justin Reed, Jonas Senker, and JT Gray. You're cutting loose Amadi Howden, Terrell Burgess, and Elliot Davison. What's the reasoning there?
Yeah, so, I mean, usually I'll try to keep between 9 and 10 defensive backs split between safety and cornerback. I'm going with 9 right now. And I'm keeping the extra DB, which is a special teams DB, as a cornerback, which is Rico Payton. So, you know, with that in mind, I'm only keeping 4 safeties. One of them is JT Gray, who obviously is your special teams ace. He's not going anywhere. Jonas Senker is a 3rd-round pick. He's not going anywhere. And then your starters are Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Reed, and they're pretty entrenched. I think you're going to, you know, there's going to be the nickel corner question, the star position, as Brandon Staley calls it. And I think that's going to be Alante Taylor, so I don't need to worry about keeping a safety with an eye on playing that position. So I think 4 is plenty in this scheme. Maybe you keep another guy. I think you probably throw an Ugo Amadi onto the practice squad. Jordan Howden is the biggest name on the cut line in terms of, you know, he was a 5th-round pick 2 years ago. Just haven't seen the development out of him that I would have liked to last year. He could certainly go out there and earn it. But right now, those numbers make sense to me.
Yeah, and that was the question I think a lot of people are going to have is Howden specifically. I was kind of surprised that you went with Amadi. If you're going to add that 5th, it would be him over Howden. But you say it cleanly in the article, Howden has to show significant growth this offseason to avoid the cut line because the 4 names at the top are locks, and I fully agree with you. And then closing things out with the specialists, you're breaking tradition here is what you say. Tell me about it.
Yeah, usually I'll go with the incumbents, just be, especially at the kicker position. They're the punter and kicker position, just because they have a track record and the guy you're bringing in, you know, doesn't in most cases, especially when going with a rookie. In this case, I actually do think the rookie punter is going to be the favorite. He's, just because I think James Burnett has a skill set that Matt Hayball is going to have a hard time matching. I wasn't particularly impressed with Matt as a rookie. I thought he was fine. He had a lot of kicks inside the 20, but he didn't have a lot of kicks inside the 10, which is what I really want. Like, if you're not going to have a field-flipping leg, I need you to pin teams back. He just didn't do that as often as I thought he could with the opportunities he had. You know, way too many kicks to the 18. I need those kicks to be to the 8 for them to impact the other team significantly, and they just weren't there. So I'm going with Burnett. We'll see. It's going to be a competition for him. It's also going to be a really interesting competition between Charlie Smith and Blake Groupie, and I think we're going to land in the same area we did last year, where I think it's entirely possible Charlie Smith makes a 70-yard field goal in practice. The problem is, you're not kicking a 70-yard field goal in a game. You're probably not even attempting a 60-plus-yard field goal unless you're in an end-of-half or an end-of-game scenario, and that might happen once a season, right? You know, you can't bank on it. So, to me, I think it's going to come down to, okay, can Charlie Smith be consistent enough inside of 60 to really definitively show that he's a better option to keep than Blake Groupie, a guy who made 6 50-plus-yard kicks last year, which is the most in Saints franchise history. I like Blake Groupie. I think Blake Groupie gets overlooked, but, you know, he's going to come back. He's going to make a ton of kicks in training camp. I think he's going to be the more consistent player. But those kicking competitions are fun, especially the place-kicking competitions, because you can keep score. And it's really easy to tell who's ahead and who's behind. But that's what I have right now. I think they're going to end up with a rookie punter for the third consecutive year. And it's worth mentioning that Phil Galliano, who is the new special teams coordinator, has been with the Saints for the last several years. He was the interim special teams coordinator last year when Darren Rizzi took over the head coaching job. So he's not going to have – he shouldn't have reservations about going with a rookie punter. He's watched it happen 2 years in a row. So I think if those things kind of coalesce into – I'd be surprised if you don't see a rookie punter for the third straight year.
Yeah, and Jeff, I'm looking forward to seeing the rookie out there punting, just because 6'6", 235, anybody returning those punts, you don't think you're going to get back past that punter too easily if he catches you?
We'll see. I still don't think you want your punter making tackles. That's a bad result. But if it ever came down to it, I said the same thing about Lou Hadley. He never made a tackle. So, hey, you know, it is what it is.
Jeff, awesome stuff. You can check out his full list of the Way Too Early Saints 53-man roster projections over at WWL.com as we get ready for the media viewing portion of organized team activities, which start on Thursday for us. Jeff, awesome stuff, man. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
For sure. I'll take it easy.
Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, WWL's digital content producer, joining us. Like I mentioned, OTA's going on right now for the Black and Gold. Fully voluntary workouts for the next 3 weeks. And it'll be every Thursday that the media gets to go out and check things out before heading into the weekend. So a nice taste of some NFL action before mandatory minicamp begins in June. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. You can sound off Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and text line, folks. What are you up to right now? Let us know, 504-260-1870. I'll be back with more right after this on
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy.
Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
WL. We got another final over at the SEC baseball tournament. Florida taking down South Carolina 11-3. So the Gators are moving on. Earlier it was Oklahoma beating Kentucky 5-1. And then Alabama taking Missouri out with a 4-1 victory. Right now we're waiting on the last game of the night, Mississippi State against Texas A&M. And the winner of that matchup will move on to play Auburn. And we know that after that, the winner of the Auburn versus A&M or Mississippi game, well, Mississippi State game, will play LSU on Friday. But looking at an updated bracket, Cullen, what we got right now?
The rest of the bracket shakes out with tomorrow. You will have, in no particular order, hopefully I've got it in the right order, Alabama playing Tennessee. That is your 9 and your 8 seeds. The winner of that will play Texas, the number 1 seed, on Thursday. After that, you have Oklahoma, the 12 seed, against Georgia, the 5th team in the SEC. That game will be after the Alabama-Tennessee game. The winner of that will play later Thursday night against number 4 Vanderbilt. And then obviously Florida beating South Carolina puts them against Ole Miss tomorrow as well, before the Auburn game later that evening. And the winner of that game between number 10 Florida and number 7 Ole Miss will go to play number 2 Arkansas, who, if we want to get even deeper in the weeds, the winner of that game would then play the winner of our game versus whoever we play the winner of against the blah, 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 blah. So it's a tricky bracket. It's a tricky bracket.
Right. So tomorrow, once again, we got Alabama taking on Tennessee, Oklahoma versus Georgia. That'll be Florida now taking on Ole Miss. And then we're waiting to find out between Texas A&M and Mississippi State who's going to be taking on Auburn. And we care about that because LSU, baby, they'll be taking on the winner of that Auburn and who to be determined matchup going on. Looking at the NBA action, we got game one of the Western Conference Finals this evening. That game just getting underway. And right now, Minnesota has taken the early 8-3 lead over the Thunder in OKC. Looking forward to watching this series. We talked about it earlier, how feels like both the Eastern and Western Conference Finals feel like 6-7 game series. We don't feel like there's going to be a sweep, or the gentleman's sweep, as they would say, a 5-game outcome in that. But if there were, the Thunder definitely seemed the most primed to be able to take care of the Minnesota T-Wolves in an early series.
Yeah, I don't see this. I think I remember the Super Bowl Sunday, Ian Ozan was in the newsroom, and I had come in to do all things legal, and then I got to leave for the day so I could just go home and watch the Super Bowl. And we were talking, and we were talking about how what we, our predictions were for the Super Bowl, and I told him it's flip-flop. It's either the Chiefs win in a close one or the Eagles just beat the crap out of them. They blow them out of the water. It was the latter. I feel like that's what we're going to see in OKC versus Minnesota here. I think either Oklahoma City beats them 4-0 or Minnesota ekes out in game 6 or 7. I feel like if this goes to the distance, between the Thunder and the T-Wolves, I think the T-Wolves can do it.
So going back to the Super Bowl, you really had that inclination that Philly might be able to, you know, blow the doors out, KC, which ended up happening.
Yeah, I mean, the entire week leading up to the Super Bowl, everybody and their mother thought the Eagles were the better team, and the right. only reason they weren't going to put money on it was because it's the Chiefs. And
yeah, that Pat Mahomes factor is also always scary.
It does, but hearing it for 2 years straight, or at least 1 year straight, because they won against the 49ers, and then the entirety of last year was just, it's the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs. Anytime you had a doubt, it's the Chiefs. Or it's Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid. Regardless, it's the Chiefs. And I inevitably was like, it's got to run its course. And if there's a team to do it, it would be the Eagles at that time.
Well, guess what, Cullen? We just went through the SEC tournament bracket, and friend of the program, Koki Riley, who covers LSU baseball and football for The Advocate and Times-Picayune. Tonight's game between Texas A&M and Mississippi State at the SEC tournament has been pushed to tomorrow due to weather.
What?
So we talked about a little earlier, too, the weather issues sometimes in Hoover.
Oh,
that is
man.
Playing a problem tonight. Interesting, just because what's going to now happen with that Auburn game, which was scheduled for tomorrow? Does that end up getting pushed to Thursday before the LSU game on Friday?
That is poetic, considering that, listener, if you're not looking at the same bracket we're looking at, we saw that the game tonight said 10:30 a.m.
And we're like, nah, no
we're
way.
We're like, nah, that's probably
that
inaccurate.
Right.
It's probably, you know, they haven't updated it yet. Whatever, you know, so be it. But I guess, so your slate tomorrow will be Texas A&M, Mississippi State to open the day. Then at noon, according to this bracket,
so wait a minute,
it is
what's
correct,
that first pitch for Texas A&M Mississippi State?
It says 10:30. 10:30 okay. Eastern. So it'd be
9:30 here.
And then again, Eastern time. So I'll bring
early
it back to us.
Early morning baseball.
So 11 a.m., they just like a second, the winner would immediately play. And I do not think that's going to happen. I feel like that part of the record might actually be wrong. But then you still have Alabama, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Georgia, Florida versus Ole Miss. I'd have to wonder if LSU gets pushed back. You don't. Sure. I mean, it's the first time they're doing a single Elim, all 16 teams. This was, I assume, bound to happen sooner or later.
I think maybe there's a more likely chance that Auburn game would be pushed to Thursday, unless there's a doubleheader tomorrow.
There's got to be a rule in place to not have a doubleheader in the SEC tournament, I would imagine, because there's got to be a rule in place to not have that, regardless.
Right, that wouldn't be fair to Texas A&M or Mississippi State.
I mean, the rule could be, hey, play better and you're not going to be put in this position again ironically, the Tigers don't have to worry about this. They're watching all this happen and they're probably, hey, a tired team shows up. We don't care who it is. You're exhausted. We're sleeping. We're going up. We're heading back home early to hang out with our girlfriends. You heard Jay Johnson earlier. And you got to just take it at face value. Just see who you play Friday, if you play Friday, and beat them.
The weather hijinks in Hoover continue. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. Be back and we'll wrap things up right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Well, we've got some answers here on Sports Talk before we push out the SEC tournament. Their Mississippi State, Texas A&M game postponed due to bad weather in Hoover. The game now will be tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning. So Mississippi State, Texas A&M will now play tomorrow morning. The game against Auburn, though, that matchup gets pushed to a Thursday, 11 a.m. first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So things getting shuffled around there in Hoover, Alabama. So Auburn doesn't have that buffer of a day of rest before potentially taking on LSU on Friday.
And then we will know absolutely by the time we're on for Sports Talk Thursday, which will be packed considering we've got OTAs, you know, open to the media. We'll know who the Tigers are playing Friday night.
Tomorrow on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert is in the house, folks. The Cajun Cannon, back from his vacation, will unload on the Saints' 2025 schedule. We'll get his initial impressions and early season predictions. Plus, we'll hear from Times-Picayune sports columnist Jeff Duncan about the Black and Gold's QB room, and we'll also break down everything in the NFC South. We'll take a trip visiting with the Falcons, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Carolina Panthers beat writers as we check in on the division as we get ready for organized team activities, which are in action right now for the Black and Gold. Saints Media Access will be on Thursday. Meanwhile, the Saints rookie crawfish boil, as we found out from our good buddy Jimmy, tomorrow. Anxious to see those pictures from that. Thanks a lot for Cullen Steele. I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, folks. Everybody, we'll be back with even more tomorrow. Stay tuned right here on WWL. Good night.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.